Welcome to another evening in the Michigan Writers Series. And this evening we have F. Richard Thomas, Professor of American Thought and Language here at Michigan State University. But I'm going to call you Dick, if that's all right.
That's much better. That's what everybody calls me.
Good. Good.
One of the reasons why I put F. Richard Thomas, why I use that on my books, or publications, any publications, is because there are so many Richard Thomases. And even on campus, I think there are three or four Richard Thomases, and I get email from a couple of the other Richard Thomases.
There might even be some Thomas Richards, which we in the library like to put the last name first and all of that.
And I get called Tom sometimes, too.
One of the things that struck me with your writing is your range of writing. You write poetry, you've written a book on, it's called Frog Praises Night, Poems with Commentary, which is poetry with commentary, but it's much like you would hear at a poetry reading, not an attempt to explain the poetry, but an attempt to expand it. And poetry prose, which is what I call your novel, The Journal of John Fish. And I'd like you to talk about the craft in your art.
I can try to do that, but I should say that with the novel or novella, I noticed that the flyer said that I was a poet and novelist. Novelist is a little bit of a stretch, probably, because I don't consider myself a novelist. Novelists are people who have an enormously long memory span and can write long works, and I can't do that. My poetry is very much involved in my novella writing or short novel writing as well. So I even, if you read Prism, for example, the Journal of John Fish, you even see lines of my poetry
will crop up in
the novel itself.
Or images.
Images and lines, and some of which crop up in earlier poems, and some of even which crop up in later poems, because I got an idea for an image in the novel or the novella, and then carried it on with a poem later on. So it's very much integrated, the poetry and the fiction. The other kinds of writing that I've done, the scholarly writing, is even related, I think, in some ways to my poetry and fiction. I did a book on Alfred Stieglitz and his literary admirers, and that was really about poetry and the way in which photography influenced poetry.
So there's another layer to this.
There's another layer to it that is the photographic image was very important to me, and at the same time, I think William Carlos Williams was very important to me, and of course, I should say Emily Dickinson as well, that the kinds of images that they use, and surprisingly, I think Walt Whitman is also an influence too, even though he writes a much longer line and a much longer poem than I do. I'm probably more influenced as a poet by, at least in the form of my poetry, the short kinds of things that I write by people like William Carlos Williams.
Very American.
And the photographic image too, and trying to find a fresh image
to express,
and from which poems sometimes grow. An image will sometimes come first, and then a poem will grow from that image.
In Frog Praises Night, I was wondering about how teaching affects your writing. Does teaching make you a better or more insightful writer? I'm thinking about your exasperation at somebody not recognizing a metaphor or getting any information from a metaphor.
I think teaching does, and I think clearly in the Frog Praises Night book, the poems with commentary, I had always enjoyed going to readings at which the poet would would let the reader know a little bit about what was going on in the poem. And I wanted to try to replicate that in this Frog Praises Night. I wasn't able to do it entirely successfully. And when I made that comment, I think about fire metaphors or something like that, in the one poem, I think that was in the Friends poem, as a matter of fact. A wave of sparrows crashed against the
Yes,
glass, then
that's
rose
right.
up again
And this, how can sparrows
in the
crash
upper
against
air,
it?
caught fire. And I made some sort of cynical, condescending comment, I think, about people not being able to understand fire metaphors, which was probably a wrong-headed kind of thing to do in that book. But
So you can say it sharpens your poetry.
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe so. But I am trying to. I do have. If the teaching itself, I don't think of my students when I write poetry. And I suppose when I'm thinking of an audience, if I am thinking of an audience, it's other peers who are either good readers or good writers. And not that students can't be good readers or good writers, but I do have that tendency to explanation, which sometimes can be over explanation, and that can be a downfall as well as a help at times. So one of the pitfalls that teachers sometimes fall into.
Well, I suppose.
Talking too much.
One thing among many that I've noticed in your work are the dedications. And to me, that indicates connections and affections that that you address in your writing. Is this pervasive?
Well, I think it's most of my dedications are for my family, but some are not. One, for example, was for a friend of mine, Reed Baird, who was very influential in my life in a way, I think, because he was striving himself to try to find a rich community of other individuals. And that's something I have always strived for here, to try to find a community that would be of interesting people to talk to and get together with and share writing. And the same thing with the one was that Alfred Stieglitz's book was dedicated to John Mills, who was a photographer himself. Another book, Miracles, I think it was Miracles, maybe it was the other, and there was another, it was the other book, not Miracles, the name of which I can't remember right now, but I'll think
I should have brought them all.
But it was dedicated to the East Lansing Writers Workshop, and that there were people here in East Lansing that I dedicated that book to, because it had to do with that creation of community idea. So it's not just my family, but how the family connects, how I connect with my family, how they connect beyond that, and how that community can be created. And so it's always been a very important interest of mine, creating community.
In Prism, the Journal of John Fish, or I should say especially in that book, the Journal of John Fish, but everywhere in your work, there is juxtaposing and relationships between science and wonder and the soul, maybe body and spirit.
That's an interesting part of my life. Most of my subjects, I think, deal with some aspect of science. In fact, a lot of my poems are inspired by reading of science, I should say popular science.
You will
in a way.
Introduce it often with a specific instance or
even
a paragraph.
With an epigraph from a scientific book, for example. Prism actually involved quite a bit of research into cetology and dolphins. And
I learned more about dolphins.
I spent hours here in the library checking out every book that you had here on dolphins.
I liked your wordplay with dolphins to Delphi.
Delphi and so forth. Delphi. Yeah, that's And it was quite an enormous amount of research that I put into before I could actually see the
But
whole
what you
book put
do with
together.
it is not out of the laboratory.
So you mean
It's
it's.
not
Oh, I see. It's
experiment. You
not right.
go with it in a far different.
Oh, yes. It's and I think part of that has to do with my background. I started out at Purdue University as a chemistry major, and then I switched to chemical engineering, and then I dropped out of school and hitchhiked around Europe for a while to find myself during my sophomore and
Did you?
junior year. Yes, I came back and I got a degree in creative writing.
Oh, good.
And but I never lost the interest in science, and today much of my reading, I'm always interested in anything that comes not just on the news in science, but I subscribe to Science News and get that weekly magazine and to see what's happening. So it's pop science. I'm certainly not a scientist and couldn't don't know any science in depth very well, except I used to know cetology, quite a bit of cetology pretty well at one time. But it fascinates me endlessly. And oh, Carl Sagan's books are
Oh
just
yes, I
enormously
love that. You
entertaining
and the
and
put
interesting.
and
And
John Gribben you were
Gribben.
reading and so on. In fact, I have his latest book at home there. We humanists can get a lot out of that. Another aspect, particularly in the Journal of John Fish, is that there are many highly erotic passages that stem from an examination of humanity and the humanness, leading to philosophical reflections on balance in life. Would you consider yourself, especially in this book, as writing fantasy or magical realism?
I don't know about magical realism, but certainly a kind of fantasy in a way that I mean, clearly some of the sex scenes, which some people I think are sort of softcore porn, if not hardcore porn, I don't know. There are a couple in there that I feel are important as part of the novel, because it's so much. Sexuality is so much an important part of life itself, and it can lead you to other things, and it can cause enormous problems as well as can cause breakthroughs as well. So, as even from the scientific point of view, sexuality is, of course, basic. I mean, it's where we come from, and the different manifestations of sexuality from dolphins to humans to flowers to ants and so forth. So, I've tried to express some of those manifestations of sexuality in the Journal of John Fish, but it's always sort of, I think, leaning over into some sort of metaphysical or spiritual aspect
Yes, it
as well.
does.
And that's so
Clearly
it's
it
not
does.
just there for the titillation of the reader. It does serve some purpose, I think, and therefore
Oh, yes.
I should be able to pass most of the censorship boards.
Oh, I think so. I think so. It was very, very expressive. Your poetry has a strong sense of place as well. Now, this is the Michigan Writers Series. Do you use intentionally, or do you find that scenes in Michigan come to your
I have
into
a
your writing?
I do. I have a number of poems that are really Michigan poems. One in particular is called Log Slide Dune Lake Superior, so it even has the title of a place in Michigan. I can't say that I consciously choose Michigan scenes any more than I consciously choose Indiana backgrounds, which is where I
I
was
see that
born.
too.
But I certainly use imagery from the places I live and the places I've been, even in Denmark, for example. Having lived in Denmark for 3 years, I have picked up on some scenes, but like the wave of sparrows crashing against the grass. That was something I saw in a field in Denmark one time. That seemed to describe that incident. So it's
Well, your poetry definitely takes place in a place. You have a lot of wonderful imagery.
Yeah, part of that is, I think, it seems more like that too, because I write what appears to be a kind of autobiographical poetry as
Yes.
well. And it's not entirely, nevertheless, it has that flavor of being autobiographical, even though I do write about some things, of course, that are not true to me. But all writers do that. As a writer, you can't help but writing from experience, felt and immediately observed experience. So,
what are you working on right now?
Right now, I'm working on another short novel, not in different from Prism, but is also a very. I'm concerned it's experimental in the same way Prism was, in that I'm concerned with language. I'm concerned with the imagery. I'm more concerned with the interrelationships between ideas and the ideas that characters represent, perhaps, than I am with narrative. Although there's sort of a slight narrative in Prism. I mean, it does go from to some end in Prism,
sure.
But it's certainly not a long story, and it's not a novel in the usual sense of the word. So I'm working on another one along those lines.
Prose poetry with poems and a sustained image.
Yeah, I think that may be a good way of describing it. It's certainly within each chapter, which is fairly short, it's very concerned about the rhythm and the imagery of the language, the pictorialness, if that's a word, of the language. So.
Well, I see that it's getting on towards the time for your reading, so I thank you very, very much for speaking with us this evening,
I'm glad to speak.
and I look forward to hearing your reading.
Thank you.